Amen. I'm glad he brought me up out of the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock. And then the Bible says he gave me a brand new song. I'm glad I have a new song in my heart. And what a blessing it is to be a child of the Lord. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Psalm 147. Psalm 147, a familiar passage to us. We've used this passage before around the Thanksgiving time, the Thanksgiving season. As we think about praising the Lord, and the word praise is simply remains in, along the same lines as the word thanksgiving, or being thankful, praising or giving thanks. And so let's read here a few verses in Psalm 147 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Verse 7, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains, and he giveth to the beasts of his field and to the young ravens which cry. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together today as a church family and to meet around your word. I pray this morning that we would be a thankful people. And Lord, just more especially be thankful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think about the first Thanksgiving, I remember at school, growing up in public school in the big metropolis of Bowie, Texas, and there in elementary school, dressing up as pilgrims and as Indians. I remember gathering around there at school and even had a meal there at school, all wrapped around that theme. But even in a small town 20, 30 years ago now, even in a small town, I don't remember and I don't recall much emphasis put upon Thanksgiving as it should have been. In other words, a lot of emphasis upon the pilgrims, a lot of emphasis upon the Indians, a lot of emphasis upon food. Amen. Be a lot of emphasis on that this week. But the original Thanksgiving, if you would, was not a Thanksgiving to thank the Indians. And that's really what's put across today in most of our public schools, when they put together their various programs. It's a thanksgiving to the Indians for Squanto helping them there in that first year and basically helping at least half of them to survive. But that's not what the pilgrims were thankful for. When they made their proclamation, when they made their prayers, they were thankful. Yes, of course, thankful for Squanto and those that helped them, but primarily thankful to God. And as we think of Thanksgiving, our primary thought should not be upon the Indians, and our primary thought shouldn't be upon even the pilgrims, but our primary thought shouldn't be upon food. Our primary thought should be to be thankful for God. Listen, and be thankful to God for the way in which God providentially brought the pilgrims here. The way in which God providentially began, if He would, this great country. It was thankfulness to God. Thankfulness to God. As we think about Governor Bradford declared the first public Thanksgiving to God, and that's in the proclamation, Thanksgiving to God. And after a harsh first winter, they were thankful to God for the blessings that He had bestowed upon them. George Washington proclaimed Thanksgiving in the year 1789. Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the last Thursday of November as Thanksgiving Day in 1863. And this is what he said. He said, "The people should assemble in their churches and acknowledge the grace of God as manifested in the abundant fruits of field and forest." Thankfulness, thankfulness unto God. We should be thankful, a thankful people. Congress made Thanksgiving a national holiday in 1941. Again, it is clear that our nation has a wonderful heritage, and even in its beginning, a wonderful heritage of Thanksgiving. That in time past, our nation was a thankful nation. I don't know that that's so much now, but I'm thankful that we're here, and I know that we are thankful. And really, it's just this morning a reminder of how important it is that we as Christians be thankful unto God. It's very clear here in Psalm 147, as this particular psalm was written after the captivity. So remember the children of Israel? There, the southern kingdom was finally carried into captivity by the Babylonian kingdom, by King Nebuchadnezzar. And 70 years later, they were allowed to return under King Cyrus, that Persian king. And when they returned, they began to rebuild. And the first thing they began to rebuild was the temple. And they rebuilt it for a few years, about 16 years, and they stopped. I mean, just stopped. They got the foundation laid, and then they stopped. And then Haggai and Zechariah come along and say, "Hey, why are you building your houses?" Because that's what they were doing. They stopped building the house of God because some persecution came along. And they started building their own houses. They started building these big houses and all these big things. And Zechariah, that prophet, and Haggai, the prophet, came along and said, "Listen, why are you building your own houses and neglect the house of God?" And through their preaching and encouragement and sometimes their forcefulness, the children of Israel finished the house of God. This particular psalm was written after they had finished the house of God. And it was just a reminder of God's providence. It was just a reminder of God's care for them. It was a reminder of not only God's care, but also God's judgment. It was a reminder of God's power and how God had brought them to that very hour. Remember, I mean, God moved the heart of King Cyrus, a foreign king, a pagan king, and allowed them, the children of Israel, to return to their own land to rebuild their temple and to rebuild their city, the city, that great city of Jerusalem. And what power God has. And so he says here, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely." So think about that for a second. Thanksgiving, being thankful to Him, being thankful. It says there, it is good to be thankful. I would tell you this morning, it's good to be thankful. It is good. I know this is silly. We use the same illustration every year. But it's good to teach our children to be thankful. I remember growing up, you know, when somebody gave me something, or an adult especially gave me something, that I was to say thank you, or else my parents would make sure that I said it. And if I didn't say it, they might apply to the Board of Education, the seat of understanding. So we teach our children to be thankful. The grandparents give them something, we make our kids say thank you. When our neighbor gives them something, we make them say thank you. We want our children to be thankful. We want to be a thankful people. It is good to be thankful. It is good to be thankful. I want to remind you another message I preached a few years ago. That word never gets away from me. The word thankful means thankfulness. It basically means to think, and as you think, and as you think about all these great things that God has done for you, then you are thankful. Thankfulness. Thankfulness, being thankful, thankfulness. So it's not just being thankful for being because we're supposed to, but it's intellectually thinking about what God has done for you. Again, this morning I got up, I set the thermostat last night on 59. I love it, love it, love it. You may set yours on 75, I don't know, but at night I want to get down in those covers. I appreciate Miss Edna, you know, making a quilt or two. And just get down those covers and just, you know, I love that cool. But you know what happened this morning when I got up, or my wife got up? She got up before I did this morning. She clicked on the heat, you know, turned that heat up to about 67. And then when I got up, I turned it up to 70. God has blessed me tremendously, and the church takes well care of me. When I went to punch on that heat, I didn't even think about what it was going to cost. Now, I'm thankful for my electric bill last month, weren't you? Oh, man, that was my lowest electric bill in the last 10 years. Amen. So when I punched that heat up to 70, I honestly didn't even think about what it was going to cost. Now, in the back of my mind, I'm still a man, so the calculator's still going. But, I mean, I punched it on there. You know why? Because I could. I wonder how many people in America today and across the world today couldn't have done that. Man, we need to be thankful. Thankful. It's like 20 degrees outside. It's 70 inside my house. And for most of you, it's the same way this morning. I know some of you have some struggles in that area. Aren't you glad, though, that God is so good to us? God is so good. We need to be a thankful people. And as we think about what God has done for us, it's appropriate. In other words, He's saying it's good. It's pleasant. Praise Him. And praise is comely. It's appropriate to be thankful unto God. We think about the things we ought to be thankful for and unto God. One of the things we need to be thankful for is thankful for His pity, that God loves us. We think about this for a moment. He says, "The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart. Healeth the broken in heart. And buildeth up and bindeth up the wounds." He healeth the broken in heart. If you think about Israel returning to the land of promise there, returning to Jerusalem, everything was broken down. And they began to rebuild that temple. There was a lot of crying that went on. The new temple was not as great. It was not as significant as the former temple. And they began to cry about it. There was a lot of broken hearts. God bound up their wounds. He heals the broken in heart. Aren't you glad this morning for the grace of God? That when we are hurting, when we are downcast, that He is there to help us, to strengthen us. I think about all the things that God has done for me and my family this year. I shared with the men yesterday, this has been kind of one of those years for our family. And as we look back, we say, you know, this thing happened, this thing happened, this thing happened. You know, God in His grace supplies that loving and care. And I'm glad He takes the balm of Gilead and He bounds up our wounds. He puts in the salve when we need it. By the way, sometimes the salve hurts. How many of y'all remember monkey blood? Iodine? Man, some of you here. I know some of y'all would go back a little further than that, but boy, that stuff hurt. But Mama said it was good for me, so I took it and put that stuff on a sore. But God is so good to us, and He applies the medicine to our wounds, that He cares for us. The grace of God. Grace is better than gifts. Mercy exceeds favor. Healing is above riches. Healing is above riches. Healing is above riches. And the binding of the broken in heart is more to be desired than a big harvest. Certain things only God can do. And I'm glad that God bounds up the wounds, that He's there to heal the broken in heart. I'm glad for the grace of God. I'm glad for salvation. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm glad this morning I can stand before you, and I know today, without a shadow of a doubt, that when I die, and it's appointed to man once to die, I'm excited. I am sure today that if I was to die, that heaven would be my home. I hope today you can say the same thing. If you can't, we're going to sing a song here in a little bit, a hymn at the end of this service. And we're going to invite you to come to the front. And from the Bible, someone will show you how you can have eternal life, how you can have salvation. Salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is found in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And all those who would repent, all those who would come to God and ask for forgiveness of sins, believing that He will forgive you, and putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, His life, His death, His resurrection, can and will have everlasting life. I'm glad today, I'm thankful today that I am saved. That I am saved, that I am eternally saved. God in His wisdom, and God in His grace and His mercy, came to me and bound up my wound that the devil had inflicted upon the human race. That original sin, if you would. That sin of selfishness. That God healed that wound. And as the song said a while ago, and gave me a new song to sing. I'm glad today for salvation. I'm thankful for salvation. And then we ought to be thankful to God for not only for His pity or His grace to us, but also thankful for God's power. For God's power. The Bible says there in verse 4, He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. His understanding is infinite. His understanding is infinite. Man, our God, who can teach God? His understanding is infinite. His wisdom is infinite. And God, our God that we serve, is of great power. He telleth the number of the stars. Think about the word telleth, just like a bank teller, that God has numbered the stars. He knows the number of them, and He knows them by name. Had the opportunity here a while back to be in a position to be out in the country and where there was no city lights. This was just a few weeks ago. I may have been doing something on a boat. I'm not sure. But we're looking up at those stars without any city lights, and it still amazes me, and I know it does you, amazes me, the number of stars. It was one of those nights, too, where it was just absolutely clear. Brother Wiggins was there. Remember, we looked up, man, just golly, it just amazed me. Years and years ago, when I was pastoring in Nakona, and a small town and small church, country church, there's a little community outside Nakona called Cap's Corner. Does anybody here know where Cap's Corner is? Anybody? I don't know if Brother Bowman knows or not. Cap's Corner. Brother John knows? Man, it's a great deal. There used to be a gas station there, and a lady named Viola used to run that gas station. I remember going to work with my dad when I was small, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. We'd go to that gas station, and Miss Viola loved the Cowboys. And you go in there, this old gas station, hadn't had gas in probably 20 years, but they had everything else. You go in there, and old rock building. Old brick rock building. You walk in, and she had those, you know, those coolers, chest freezers, and one of them was full of ice cream, and one of them was filled with the old Cokes, you know, the old glass bottle Cokes. And just loved going in there. It was a great place to be, just out in the middle of nowhere, and really still is kind of out in the middle of nowhere. One of the first times when I became pastor there in Nakona, one evening just really had a tough evening on a Saturday night, and just drove out to Cap's Corner on a Saturday evening. And I don't forget, I drove up to one of those wells, those oil wells that Dad had a part in taking care of, and just parked my car, got out, and just got up on the hood and just looked up at the stars. And I was there for a long time. I don't know how long. I just try to remember when David said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visit him?" Just think about that for a moment. David looked up and he said, "Look at all the stars of heaven. God has them all numbered." I think it would be good for you, maybe during Thanksgiving, to take a little time and get out somewhere and just look up at creation now and again. Right? Right? Psalm 19, man, God speaks about that the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. That means the heavens declare who and what God is. Amen? Now, creation is not God, but it declares who God is. It declares Him. It shows us the power of God. And so this psalmist is simply saying, look, God is to be praised. God is to be praised. It is good to give praise unto the Lord. And I could no doubt think about, as this psalmist was thinking, thank God for the grace that He has bestowed upon us. And thank God that God has the power to move the heart of a Persian king and allow us to return and rebuild our temple. Thank God for those things. Thank God that He cares, that He binds up our wounds and takes care of us. And just thank God for the stars and His creation. I have no doubt this particular psalmist was thankful for the power of God. It would be good for us, again, to think about when we are experiencing times in the valley and when we're not on that mountaintop, to remember that God is all-powerful. That God is in control. And no matter what you may be facing, maybe you weren't able to turn on the heater this morning as I was able to. Maybe there are financial problems. Maybe this morning, as we think about Miss Bobby and others who are facing just physical difficulties, and maybe this morning you're facing a relational difficulty. You're thinking about a family member, or maybe you're going through a divorce, or whatever it may be, whatever you are facing in this life. Can I remind you that God is all-powerful? And we need to be thankful to God that He is an all-powerful God who is in absolute control, that He is sovereign, that He is above all. Let's be reminded this morning, when you're facing difficulties at your job, when you're facing difficulties dealing with your children, when you're facing difficulties in your life, that God is in absolute control. There's times in my life, even this last year, I look back and, you know, that thing happened to me and this thing happened to me. And there's no doubt as I face each difficulty in my life, as I go through each valley in my life, there's never been a doubt. And maybe this is not how you are, but there's never a doubt to me that God's in control. I may not like what I'm facing. I may not like what I've gone through, but I have no doubt, not one doubt in my mind, that God's in complete control of my life. Because if He knows the number of the stars, and He has them all by name, surely He knows what's going on in my life. And surely He has control of my life. I'm glad today, I'm thankful that we serve a God who is all-powerful. I'm thankful today that the Lord lifteth up the meek in verse 6 and casteth the wicked down to the ground. There are many times in the Psalms, if you take time to read them, where David would say something like, God, why are my enemies successful and I seem not to be? Why do my enemies flourish and I seem to be cast down? But David is always reminded, every one of those Psalms, David always reminds himself or God reminds him that in the end, they'll get their reward. Amen. Let me remind you that God lifteth up the meek. Now, again, the word meek, we studied this a few weeks ago. The word meek does not mean sissy. Jesus Christ was meek. Jesus Christ was not a sissy. Meekness simply means, it means under control. It means power under control. Let me read it exactly, make sure. It means strength expressed in self-control. Power under control. He lifteth up the meek. The Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. I can tell you right now, based upon the promises of God, that the meek will inherit the earth. That the meek will be brought up. And those, what does it say? And the wicked will be cast down. I read the back of the book and we win. And remember that every time you go through something, that God loves you, God is all-powerful, and in the end, we win. And it doesn't matter what happens in politics, what happens in finances, what happens in relationships, what happens with your home, what happens with your bank account, in the end, if you're saved this morning, you're a child of the King, we win. We win. I'm glad today for God's compassion. I'm glad today that He is a just God. That means God is fair. And again, we like to emphasize God's love, and I'm glad today that God is a God of love. And that is His primary, His holiness is a primary attribute, but love is part of that. Love is one of those primary attributes of God. But His love and His just, or His anger, do not conflict. He is both. He is a God of compassion, and He is a God of judgment. And He will always do what's fair. He will always do what's just. He will always do what's right, because He is God. And I'm thankful today for God's compassion and God's judgment. The right will triumph and the wrong will be defeated. I'm thankful for God's pity. I'm thankful for God's power. I'm thankful, lastly, for the providence of God. Aren't you glad for His providence? I'm glad that God providentially has dealt with His people. And He's still dealing with His people. And that should make us be thankful. Verse 7 says, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. I like to sing. Right? If you're a Christian, the Bible says, and the psalmist says, that we receive a new song. Right? The Bible says we have to sing unto the Lord. To sing with our lips. I want to just remind our church family, on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we're to be singing unto the Lord all through the week. But when we come here, we ought to be singing as a congregation to Him. That you get a psalm book, that you sing. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I know I use my dad as an example all the time, but my dad cannot sing his way out of a bucket. But my dad will sing loud. If you get around him, he'll sing it out loud because he's just making a joyful noise. It doesn't say make a good noise. It doesn't say make a great, just sing unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto Him. And whether you can or cannot sing, I still, and I know some of you, you're going to think I'm watching you during the services. I'm not. But it's hard for me to see someone come to a service and not sing. It's very hard for me because it's not in me to be that way. I would encourage you, whether you can or cannot sing your way out of a bucket, if you are tone deaf. And there's a few people in here I could point that out that are. There's some great examples, and I would not want them to be in the choir. Brother John, you cannot join the choir. But when you're in the congregation, I promise you, Brother John's singing. And I appreciate that. You all just lift it up to the Lord. Verse 7 again. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. And as you sing unto the Lord, you are praising Him. You're thanking Him. You're adoring Him. You're worshiping Him. Praise and adoration directed towards Him. It is a part of the service. It is your obligation, if you would. And it ought to be your heart's desire to praise and thank Him for all the great things He's done for you. Sing unto the Lord. And I'm thankful for the new song. Amen. That's a whole nother message. God is worthy to be praised. We ought to praise Him. God's providence in His dealings with His people, we ought to be a thankful people for what God has done for us. And God supplies for us. He covereth the heavens with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beasts his food, and to the young ravens which cry. And God provides nature's necessities. We like to complain this morning, especially this morning, about the weather, but I'm glad it's raining. And it may freeze over here in a few hours, and I'm not going to like that at all. But I'm thankful for God's providential nature in that He takes care of His creation. We drove over Lake Bridgeport the other day. That's sad. We need some rain. We need to be careful when we complain about the rain. I'm probably the worst one at it, especially when it happens on a Wednesday or Sunday. God takes care of His creation. And I'm not going to do a meteorology study this morning, but most of you went through school and understand the complexity of what it takes for it to rain. Scientists can't make it rain. You know, the evaporation of the seas and then up into the wind, and then the wind moves it around. It's amazing what it takes just for it to rain. God does that. By the way, He sends the drought too. God covereth the heavens with clouds. He giveth His beasts His food, and the ravens, the young ravens which do cry. He supplies, the Bible says in the New Testament, He supplies for the sparrow. He gives food unto the ravens. I think about that for a moment. I think about little sparrows. And I know this is going to make some of you sad, but when I was a kid growing up, sparrows were fair game. By that I mean, we couldn't shoot cardinals. We couldn't shoot blue jays. Blue jays were marginal. It depended on great-grandpa's mood. Because a blue jay, depending on where it nested, would attack you. They're mean birds. And so it depended upon where the blue jay was at. But for the most part on the farm, you weren't allowed to shoot anything except sparrows and crows. But I promise you, a crow is a lot harder to kill than you think. Those are tough birds. Golly, you shoot them like 50 times and they're still crowing. You're like, what are you doing? Squirrels were fair game because they took the fruit, you know, and the pecans. We shot a lot of sparrows. A lot of sparrows. You know, God feeds the sparrow. Sparrow's a nice little bird. Cute little bird. But God feeds the raven, too. God feeds that yucky raven. God feeds that raven. And the New Testament tells us in Matthew, if God will feed the sparrow, He'll feed you. Just be reminded, if He'll take care of the grass of the field, He'll sure take care of you. I'm thankful today that God has provided my need. That I was able to flip on or turn up the heat this morning. I'm glad He's provided for my need. I'm glad He put food on the table. I haven't missed a meal in a long, long time. I'm thankful for that. Thankful that He supplies all that we need. I know I've already used this expression a thousand times, but let me remind you. That's what Thanksgiving is about. It's about thankful for what things have happened and what God's given you now. That when you meet at that Thanksgiving table this week, and you gather around, just as we emphasize at Christmas, the Lord's coming, His birth, and that we should remind our kids about what Christmas is really about. Let's remind our children, remind your grandchildren, what Thanksgiving is really about. And that as you sit around that table and you're thanking God for His family and thanking God for your health, thanking God for your church, let's remind our kids to be thankful. And as we as adults need to be thankful unto God. For He is a God who is worthy to be praised. It is good to give praise to Him. We need to be thankful that He is a God of pity, that He does care for us, that His mercy and His grace endureth forever. Be thankful for God's power, that God is all-powerful, that He knows everything about what's going on in your life, that He takes care, that He knows the stars, counts the stars and knows them by name. He's all-powerful. And then lastly, that God provides, a God of providence. Can I tell you that He delights? When you go on to read the rest of the psalm, that He delights in taking care of you. That God desires a personal relationship with you. That's amazing, isn't it? The God who made the heavens, the sun, the moon, and the stars. David describes there in Psalm 8, as Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? Just amazing that God even thinks about us, but He does. He cares about us. Let's be a thankful people. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll have a verse of invitation. Hymn 534.